Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 279, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Friday, March 17th, 2023. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Potatoes O'Brien. That is courtesy of At Least With The Hot Takes and the O'Reilly's Auto Parts jingle, which I was just listening to a version this morning where it's clear that like one of the musicians, one of the vocalists really like got like either got high for the recording session or they just really like threw their entire body and spirit into adding the O'Reilly, that last O'Reilly before the auto parts. So congratulations to that artist. We are thrilled to be joined by a co-host you know from guesting on this show, of course. You know him from Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, Ridiculous History, the new limited series, Let's Start a Coup. Please welcome the brilliant and talented Ben Bowlen!
Oh, yeah. AKAs, that's Twitter. And they said, AKA Quesadilla Killa, AKA BB Cool J, AKA Dr. Awkward, AKA Mr. Bring the Bags, which I don't get, but I support.
Mr. Bring the Bags. You always bring those bags of knowledge to people.
Shucks.
My AIM screen name in college and high school was OB Cool J. So shout out.
Getting to know
my friend.
You. Getting to know.
Yeah. That was the creation of my friend Chris, the legendary Chris, who I talked about a lot on this show. Well, Ben, wonderful to have you co-hosting. You already dropped some knowledge on us that I want to talk about in a moment. But first, let's introduce our guest, shall we? Another consummate podcast professional, one of the best in the business, digital activist. You can hear her on her brilliant podcast, There Are No Girls on the Internet, Internet Hate Machine with Cool Zone Media. It's Bridget Todd!
Oh my God. I every time I come here, you all give me the best introductions. It fills my heart.
I mean, and we do offer that because we're, as we're going to get into with Sesame Street, we are running into money difficulties. I will offer to do an intro for you that you can bring around with you that is an NFT for the low, low price of $5,000. So just let me know after the recording. But Bridget, so wonderful having you. The intro is always more than well deserved. How are you doing? You have new glasses that look fantastic. First of all,
I just got new glasses, so I'm in that phase of getting a new item where you're just expecting compliments. And when you get them, you're like, thank you. I know.
Thank
they're
you.
Great.
And that is correct. And that is appropriate.
Yeah, I'm good. They I'm do excited look great. To be here.
Yeah, they're great. I was saying I have 5 pieces of clothing that I wear on a regular basis because I need so many compliments to just have the confidence to wear anything. Otherwise, it's just a white t-shirt. Ben, you were saying before, because we were talking about the naming of dogs.
Yes.
And you were saying that studies have been conducted that suggest that dogs respond better to names that end in S or Y.
Yeah, or IE. Yeah, it's...
right.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And it's, you know, we talk about names pretty often, right? Because names do have power. If it apparently, I'll have to look up the study and send you all, but apparently science shows that dogs will tend to be more receptive to their human roommates, parents, whatever, however you want to anthropomorphize. They'll be more receptive when their name ends in that IE or Y sound or like a plural, which is nuts to me because it explains so much, right? It's like, why does every dog person we know, why do they inevitably have all these nicknames?
Right. Yeah. You got to find one that they respond to. My dog Finn was Finny. Yeah. Finny boy. Aww. Finny.
See?
Yeah.
Finny boy. Finny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did not respond to Finn. He ignored the shit out of me. I was like, he can't hear very clearly. Yeah.
There's nothing cuter than asking a pet owner, like, what is your pet's name? And then give me the laundry list of other names, like Dr. Finnstein, like the Fininator.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And then, yeah. And then, like, what I was thinking about common dog names, it's like Max, which has an S on the end. Spot does not pass the test. Lassie, though, you know, these standard names and throwing a Y on the end, always a good idea. So
I had a kid growing up with me, had a wonderful, wonderful guy living with him named Buster. And Buster was a golden retriever who always seemed like very good energy, very affable, but didn't quite get what was going on.
Yeah.
Poor Buster. And I think it's because
naming malpractice.
I think if this poor guy spent, you know, over a decade not fucking knowing when people were talking to him.
Yeah. That would be difficult, I think. In my experience, that's hard. All right. Well, Bridget, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners about the plate of just hot garbage news that we have for them today. Today's news cycle seems to have been, it seems like all the news outlets were just like, turn it over to ChatGPT. We're just gonna and tell them about like all the buzzwords from the last year. So we have the Taco Bell metaverse wedding.
What?
We have a review of the Taco Bell metaverse wedding officiated by Cal Penn, of course.
How did Cal Penn get mixed up in that?
How did he get looped in? Poor guy.
It's, you know, that sweet, sweet marketing money. The Tiger King is running for president from jail. There is a Sesame Street NFT that just got dropped. They're a little behind the curve on that one. I admire that they're sticking to it. They're still just like, no, we think people are going to won an NFT of Cookie Monster leaning kind of seductively on an oven. He like seems like he's, it seems like a dating profile pic of Cookie Monster, which is interesting choice.
He owns the means of production, man. He's showing people that he can make his own.
That's
cookies,
power,
right?
Yeah. So we'll talk about that and also the history of why Sesame Street needs to resort to selling NFTs and tickle me's Elmo and all that shit. Before we get to any of that stuff, Bridget, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Something from my search history that is revealing about who I am is the phrase sexy boy. I was recording a podcast about the rivalry between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. And in the script, they were like, oh, Shawn Michaels, his walk-on song at the time was a song called Sexy Boy. And so I was like, oh, I have to hear this song. So that was one of the last things I Googled, was to hear Shawn Michaels's walk-on song, Sexy Boy, which, by the way, I recommend Googling it and listening to it because it is pretty good. Mm. But yeah, so that was what he walked out onto the stage to.
Is it B-O-I or B-O-Y?
No, this was the 90s. This was B-O-Y. We didn't know. Only Big Boy from Outkast knew that you could spell your name, spell the word boy that way.
I feel. Yeah, Atlanta, Big Boy and Avril Lavigne.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Wow. So Sexy Boy, the first Google result when you just put the words Sexy Boy into Google is the Shawn Michaels intro music, but it's not the first image result. I'll tell you that much, folks. Don't
is it
Google.
A sexy boy?
It's a lot of sexy boys. A lot of ripped six-pack abs. One in which, I don't even want to describe what's happening in that one.
Since we're an audio show, I think it's necessary to tell the Zeit Gang that Bridget and I can see Jack's furrowed brow. As he's, what are you doing? Are you like trying to count abs? What's going on?
Just watching gay porn at this point.
Is that how many abs are supposed to be on a sexy boy? It's a lot. It's a lot to take in, this search history, but. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. I actually don't know that song. I never got into the whole WWFW. Like, I was super into it for a couple months when I was like five, when like Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, and then just like fell out of love with it. I think I discovered like playing guns instead of playing wrestling and like that, and just moved on to some other toxic little boy bullshit. I think my dad saw Rambo and described it to me. And I was like, well, this is my
personality.
New
personality. Yeah. This is my new thing.
Just I'm a scarred 9-year old Vietnam veteran.
I was so influenced by Sylvester Stallone, and like his whole thing is like haunted, scarred, damaged, like, you know, can barely communicate because he's like holding in so much pain and just like so thoroughly toxic with his inability to talk about his pain, to access his own pain as a...
You identified with this as a child?
As a child, because Rocky and Rambo, like for whatever reason, I was like, yes, feed
toxic,
me more.
Sexy boys.
Yeah. Like I fantasized about getting beat up instead of beating people up, because Rocky, that was like the majority of what Rocky was him just getting the shit beat out of him. Mm. I was like, man, that guy can take a punch. I wish I could take a punch like that.
I thought, Bridget, when you said Sexy Boy, I immediately thought of the song by the French
Air
musicians.
Right?
Air, yeah. I was like, that's it. I'm still relevant. I got my finger on a pulse or whatever.
How weird would it be if a wrestler in the 90s, his walk-on song was Sexy Air? Boy by Air? Like, ooh, he's a real, like
he's got a vibe.
Highbrow. He's cultivating a vibe here. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Playing Moon Safari.
That's a great idea. Somebody should just be avant-garde wrestler. Just the most hated. If they really wanted to create a villain that America would hate.
Make him super metrosexual.
Yeah. just arty. Just arty, you know? What is something, Bridget, that you think is overrated?
Something that I think is overrated is, it's very specific and perhaps a little bit niche. I was in Vegas. I just came back from Vegas for Podcast Movement Evolutions. And while I was there, I learned that I didn't know this. I don't know how I didn't know this. But did you know that Elon Musk's boring company has hollowed out part of the ground under Las Vegas to make what is called the Vegas Loop? Did you know this?
Like Hyperloop?
So this is where the confusion came from on my part. I was thinking Hyperloop, like that super fast underground thing, which like, you know... I'm no expert, but it sounded, I was interested to see it. So we've been sold on Hyperloop, which does sound kind of cool. What actually exists is Vegas Loop, which is so much fucking worse. It is whatever you're thinking. It is so much less cool. It is underground, and it's just this underground road under part of Las Vegas where Teslas drive. And so it's essentially just like a fleet of Teslas driven by humans drives underground, goes about 30 to 40 miles an hour. It doesn't go wildly fast. And that's the whole thing. When you go down, you think it's going to be cool because it's kind of like when you used to board those Virgin America flights where they'd have the lights.
Oh, they have the lights?
They have cool some lights. They've got some lights. They've got some music. So you think like, oh, I'm about to be whisked away on this like futuristic loop. It's just a dude driving a Tesla. Like, that's the whole thing.
It's just, an underground Tesla. Subway system with Teslas instead of trains?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. And the whole time I was just like, this is the whole thing. It's essentially the same thing that happens above ground, but underground for some reason. Like, I can't understand why it's supposed to be better to be underground. I can't get it. Anyway.
Yeah, so I'm confused too.
Very overrated. It just was really whack. Like, it just wasn't cool.
Because they talked about this a lot. I remember him talking a big game, and then I had lumped this into yet another one of the things that he talked a lot about and it sucked. And it turns out that he did, or actually didn't happen, and it turns out it did happen and it sucked. So that is actually news to me.
Wait, do a lot of people use it?
I don't think so. Everybody who I saw was like, interested in the novelty as I was. Like, I don't think it's something that people are using for their general transportation needs in Vegas. I could be wrong.
I also don't trust it. Like, I don't trust that he is doing the work to make sure it is safe and not going to collapse in on itself, personally.
Yeah, I did have a couple of questions because, like, if you had a disability and you had a wheelchair or a mobility device, it's not clear to me, like you can't really stop. Like, the people driving are very invested in like keeping it going. So if you had luggage or something, it wasn't clear to me what would happen. So certainly it's the kind. I'll just say it worked about as well as an underground driving system designed by Elon Musk. Exactly what you think it would be. It is like,
yeah,
it's designed as about as well as Elon Musk, as you would imagine Elon Musk would make it.
It's got that 4:30 p.m. on a Friday energy, right?
Yes. Like... yes. Exactly.
What is something you think is underrated?
Something I think is underrated is, this is going to be controversial, checking your luggage when you're flying. Mm. I usually carry on. I had a bunch of bags, so I checked them all. And I don't know what I've been avoiding this whole time. Like, it went fine. It was nice to not have to, I had a connection, so it was nice to not have to schlep bags from here to there. This whole time I've been crapping on people who aren't able to get their stuff into a carry-on. I think I'm check bags for life now.
It's really hit or miss. It's when it doesn't go well, that's like they lose the bag. The bag takes an hour to arrive, as it did on my last flight that I took where we checked a bag. It's a bummer. It's really tough to just be like kind of waiting there with everybody that you were just on the plane with and never wanted to see again.
Right. You're like, I'm standing next to this guy who is way too open with his feet on the floor.
He's like, while we're waiting here, I might as well take my shoes off again.
Yeah, right? Let me learn more about you, bro. What kind of bag do you store your socks in? Because I think you just have the one pair. But also, like, I gotta say, I'm with Bridget on this. I'm team Bridget on the checking bags when it works out, because I'm a sucker and I love that moment. For me, it always feels like the climactic moment of a rom-com, you know, when I see my bag again. And I'm like, oh, we've been hundreds of miles away, and here you are coming toward me. And I know it's you. I knew from the first, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, I'm like hugging the bag and don't know. Anthropomorphizing, maybe. I don't think my bag cares about me the way I care about
it. Oh, don't be so hard on yourself. Don't say that, Ben. Your bag loved you. Do you guys tie a little ribbon? How do you know it at first sight? Because bags are, I do feel like bags have evolved, like the way that nature keeps evolving into crabs, like animals keep evolving into crabs. I feel like all bags have evolved into the same, like, black, gray, hard-bodied, rectangular suitcase that looks like it could have been made by, you know, one of the three internet bag companies. Do you guys have a little piece of spirit, little piece of jazz on there?
I do. I have very distinctive stickers. So I usually travel with two bags. One is like very distinctive. No one would ever mistake it for theirs. It's like bright orange, definitely mine. The other is the classic black away bag, which I think I did get for free for like making a podcast ad. Like everybody has it.
We all did. Everybody who had a podcast got that bag. We all had podcasts. So everybody has that bag now. And it's a good bag. It's durable.
I've had it for years. And like truly, it is like the day you start a podcast. It shows up at your house with your microphone. Mm-hmm. But so I have to have all kinds of distinctive stickers on it.
Right. Because there are so many of those bags. And I also, to that question, I like to have, like, I have no stickers on a car because I feel like that's presumptuous somehow. People are already driving. They don't want to have to learn more about me. I'll just use my turn signals and be quiet. but like with the bag, especially because they're relatively ubiquitous and I'm partially colorblind, I have a bunch of like just travel stickers, the ones they do from when you check a bag. And I just haven't cleaned it. So I'm always thinking, oh, yeah, there's the one, the beat up shitty one. Yeah. I knew you from the first. Welcome back, bud. You know, but I think it is smart when people have, you know, sometimes people make a statement. Everybody makes a statement, right, at different times. And I kind of love seeing weird bags in the baggage claim, you know. I'm like, oh, this guy either is super into snowboarding or maybe it's a cello, right?
Right.
One thing I do know is he has very specific views on, you know, Tibet back in the 90s.
Sure.
From his like free Tibet thing. I think that's cool. I think that's cool. And if you check a bag, like to your point, Bridget, you can, especially if you have a connecting flight, it's like the logistics is just sort of magical. Mm-hmm. I could never do that. I could never figure out how to follow every, you know, watch every falling sparrow from like one airplane to the next, but it's impressive.
Yeah.
Ben, to your point about like you don't put stickers on your cars, do you ever see one of those cars that just has way too many stickers on it where it's like you are trying to tell us way too many things, even if there are things that I like or agree with? At a certain point, it's like it makes you're advertising too much to the world, even if it's things that I am aligned with. It's too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's too much.
And they're always like usually include get off my ass. And it's like, well, you clearly want me somewhere close to you so that I can read the dissertation that you've put together. Those stickers, the bumper stickers are like so, I don't know. They do not have a fact industry-wide fact checker, I will say, because there are quotes attributed to Einstein that I'm pretty sure are like Van Halen lyric or something. You know
what do you guys think about vanity plates?
Oh, I used to have one.
What'd you say? What did
it
say?
It said love. This is so cheesy. It said love to teach because I was a teacher at the time, and I really did love to teach.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good. I like the ones where, you know, I'm never going to condone being high in traffic. So for the purposes of this story, I was riding shotgun, and I got to the point where I thought regular license plates were vanity plates that I just wasn't just smart enough to understand.
Yeah,
I was like H4. No. Keep following that guy. I got to write this down.
Follow that man. Decode. Also, there was a study that I don't know if it's been replicated widely, but it's an interesting thought, is that there was a study that the people who were most likely to engage in road rage incidents were, it had nothing to do with like, you know, so some of the things that you might like, whether they were in a pickup truck or like a different kind of truck, which would have been my first guess, but it was actually people who had bumper stickers were like, that was the only statistically significant differentiator between like how likely they were to get into a road rage incident. And like, I think the theory was that if you have bumper stickers, you view your car as like an extension of your personhood more than anything else. And so like you view it as a personal insult if you're cut off, as opposed to just a thing that happens to everyone, you know?
Oh, wow.
This is like one of the reasons why I don't drive, is because I feel like I would be a road rage person. Like, I drive a little bit, but I really don't drive a
right.
lot. When I'm behind the wheel, like if somebody is trying to merge, like kind of box me out to merge, I will kill us both. Like, I don't care. like we will die in this car.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe the bumper sticker to road rage correlation. Cause like you probably feel much more like this car is my property and an extension of me, and I will protect it, which I hate to say is like an instinct that I get.
And I wonder if I've never had a bumper sticker, but I do wonder if when you have a bumper sticker, you start assuming people are driving a certain way around you based on 100%. Your bumper stickers. Like, you're defensive. Sure. You're like, oh, you don't like Einstein? You don't believe that I ran a half marathon? Well, I'm going to take this to the death.
You're like laying on your horn, and to yourself, you're just muttering, well, this guy doesn't fucking coexist. That's for sure.
You know, I'll tell you one thing.
I see it, and this is just further cementing my no bumper stickers on my car situation. You know,
yeah.
It's great. You're right, though. It's a lot. I think people always want to sort of tell a story, right? Because we are the stories we tell ourselves. But to your guys' point, how many? Should there be a limit? Should somebody write to our local representatives and say, hey, I know there's a lot of stuff going on, but like 3 bumper stickers max, you know, like let's bring people together. I don't know.
I believe there should be a limit on bumper stickers and also signs in your yard. Like, again, even if it's signs of things that I agree with, it's like, we get it. 3 is right. 3 is plenty.
3
you don't need, you don't need to like. Let's keep it reasonable. 3 is
it's a diminishing return.
Exactly. You know?
And some people like try to build like there's houses that are like, we do this week and we're gonna like, I don't know. It reminds me of like those like mini library things that I think are cool, but I think a lot of people are like, this is how we build community. And it's like, well, you're not really interacting with anyone, it feels like.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know. I'm glad those exist. I just don't know that they're the answer.
This just in, Jack O'Brien, library hater.
I told you that was an offline thought. I'm still workshopping. So
I mean, Jack, it's not like you ever see like crowds of people hanging around a free little library, you know, talking about the book.
We have one like right next, like in between our neighbor's house and our house. And it's, you don't see people like hang out there, but you see people like walk up by themselves. It gets a lot more traffic than I would have expected. It's pretty popular. It's definitely useful. It's just, people don't hang together at the free yard library.
Yeah, at the free yard library. I do want to give a quick shout out, though, not to derail us. Here in Atlanta, an activist artist friend of mine named Aileen Loy has created, on the heels of the book banning stuff that's happening around the country, has created a what she's calling a little contentious free library, which is all banned books.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's
she's
great.
Way cooler than me. but it's like, it's a real problem. If you're preventing people from being able to encounter knowledge, you know, at a formative age, then I don't know.
Yeah.
Different
things. In the future, that might be the, like, we'll all have to have little libraries where we give out books that are banned elsewhere because, schools aren't doing it in some states. So, all right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and get into the Taco Bell Metaverse wedding.
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point of sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back, and Taco Bell is in the metaverse. I don't know. So Taco Bell held a contest where the winner, yes, the winner, got to have their wedding in a digital Taco Bell in the metaverse. That was what you won. That feels like a punishment to me, but the ceremony happened at the end of last March. But people who attended just, I don't know, broke their media embargo. I don't know. And it's just truly, I don't know. This story made me feel as empty as any story we've covered in a long time. But I did have to talk about it.
Mm.
So the bride and groom's avatars faced each other across a sacred fire. So the wedding was a traditional Indian ceremony, other than the fact that it was in a Taco Bell in the metaverse. It was hosted by Cal Penn. The bride and groom's avatars faced each other across a sacred fire made of Taco Bell's signature fire sauce.
See, okay. All right.
You're on board.
No, I'm going to.
Wait a second.
I feel like oh, okay, now I'm back in. I didn't know it was signature fire sauce. But I got to be honest, this is gross. And I wish everybody, marriage is tough. You know what I mean? I wish everybody the best of success, finding your person. You know, it's like even better than that rom-com moment with your bag at baggage claim. Right. It's like that forever. And that's really noble and cool.
And that maybe, is for most people, the height of romantic love. So you're saying this is even more than seeing your bag.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay. We're very
controversial statement, but okay.
Bridget and I are being paid by big checked bag, I guess.
yeah, we are.
Spirit Airlines.
Right. Call me TSA. Yeah.
But okay. There's good friend of mine. Actually, my best friend, he's getting married pretty soon. And he was telling me all like how stressful it is and how messed up and crazy planning this thing gets. And so he and his partner, they have decided to elope, which I think is cool, you know, cut past the nonsense and then make it their own. So maybe for this couple, it's their dream thing. Maybe they were like, hey, we met at a Taco Bell or like, you know, quesadillas.
In the metaverse.
Yeah. Gordita crunch wraps are really the glue of our partnership.
My problem here is not the Taco Bell theming. I will say that. But the official Taco Bell theming, the fact that it is, I don't know. I just feel bad for, like, if you want to diminish the amount of stress associated with an event, adding a corporate sponsor who has notes on everything
you want to do.
You're right. Like, it just seems like not the way to go. I mean, I think the idealized version that, like, they pitched when Taco Bell, you know, signed on to this idea and contest is probably that. It's like, yeah, they just are expressing their love and they're a couple weirdos who just love Taco Bell. But in practice, for anyone who has been involved with sponsored content and trying to get any amount of art through past corporate sponsors who have notes, I just I don't know. It seems difficult. I also like the fact that they keep saying that they want a contest to become the first people married at a Taco Bell in the metaverse, as though this is going to be an ongoing thing that we'll be looking back on them as the fucking George Washingtons of this thing that we all then went on to do as a people.
Pioneers, yeah. I mean, people do have, like, really strong feelings about Taco Bell. Like, I have no trouble believing that this couple maybe met in a Taco Bell and Taco Bell was a big part of their relationship. And I didn't have Taco Bell for the first time until, like, 5 years ago. So I am not in that particular group. But, we weren't allowed to eat it when I was growing up. Like, a weird rule my mom had. No Taco Bell, no Mountain Dew. Wow.
But all the other stuff was fine?
Yeah, all fine. I don't know why so she just, funny. Like, had a thing. Well, for Mountain Dew, she said it was because, this is her words, not mine, it was, quote, for white trash, so we weren't allowed to drink it.
Oh, yeah. No, confirmed.
I think Taco Bell might have been in the mix as well.
My family didn't encourage it, I will say that. I never went out to dinner with my family to Taco Bell, necessarily, but, you know, I got it, like, after, you know, game or something, like, if I, you know, we just, it was the thing that was open that we could, like, scarf down in the 15 minutes we had. And yeah, it's such perfect point, just, like, so delicious. I don't know, it lit up something in my brain that I have been unable to uncrease from there. And the same is true of Mountain Dew. When I lived in Kentucky, I became addicted to Mountain Dew and have never been able to fully, like, I don't go frequently because of, or like, drink Mountain Dew frequently because for self-care reasons. Because, like, if I have a 12-pack of Mountain Dew in my house, I'm not going to be able to not drink at all.
But what if you could do it in the metaverse, bro?
Now we're talking, Ben. Thank you.
No, that's Mountain Dew was originally slang for moonshine. That's the etymology of it.
Yeah.
I haven't tried it, but I do agree with your mom, Bridget.
Oh, my that's God. Wait, she was actually onto something with that. Like, wow. Yeah, there's no way my mom knows
You've
that.
Never tried it?
I've never tried it. I've tried the red kind, but I've never had regular Mountain Dew.
Regular. I mean, the red kind is, you get the overall.
Yeah.
Wait, Ben, did you say you've never tried it?
Mm-mm.
You've never tried Mountain Dew?
This is like asking someone if they've always been vegan. There was probably something in the drinks, but anytime there was a Mountain Dew situation available, there was some other soda or something to drink. So I would end up going with that. And also, growing up, some of my relatives I didn't care for
were into Mountain Dew.
They were super into Mountain Dew. And I would look at them and I would be like, ha ha, better you than me, my friend. You know? So, like, okay. But Taco Bell, though, the appeal, the late night appeal, back in the day, you know, you got like 12, 18 bucks. You're high right. in a car following another car because you think it's a vanity license plate. They roll it to a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm living like I am the fucking emperor of bad decisions. You know what? Two quesadillas.
Yeah.
Throw in the churros. YOLO. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Oh, man. Cheesy gordita crunch. I just discovered, like, Miles, I think, turned me on to, like, I loved Taco Bell, and I wasn't even getting the best stuff growing up.
What's
and,
the good order?
I mean, cheesy gordita crunch with it a quesadilla I've always had, and then I like to get a grilled stuffed chicken burrito with, that's the healthy part of my order. Grilled stuffed chicken burrito, extra grill, like, put it on the grill for a little extra time, if they don't mind, but sometimes.
You can ask for that?
Yeah, well done. Yeah, for your wow. grilled stuffed chicken burrito, well done. But then I'll freelance. And then, of course, with the biggest Baja Blast that they will allow me to carry out.
You're in deep water, my friend. Like, yeah. I had no idea this was a thing. So, wait, though.
I get it, like, though. Once a year at this point. But And I sure. don't tell my kids or my wife.
It's a secret. Except,
yeah. It's just like a dark trip to undercover of night. I turn my headlights off.
Dark night of the soul. Yeah. Oh my God, Bridget, he's got like a fake mustache on. It's like, so wait though, a wedding in the metaverse, you got to tell us these folks getting married. They were in person, right? This wasn't like a remote. Like
no, yeah, they were
remote.
Together. Okay. They kissed each other's faces like real people in love and all that stuff. Which is all like that almost makes it because then you're like, oh, so they are really like married now. Like this was really their wedding. Because like the picture that you see of it is like two people deeply in love kissing one another, and then they're like weird avatars in a purple, like on a purple throne, like kissing each other above. But so the vows were written by ChatGPT.
No,
so like this story seems like it's being written by ChatGPT because of just like all the stupidest buzzwords coming together here. The vows were written by ChatGPT. It was within a video game, so it wasn't even really the metaverse, but like I don't know how to feel about that. Like I'm no metaverse snob, so if they want to do it in Decentraland, the video game, it just seems like it was a poorly orchestrated publicity stunt by Taco Bell, which has to hurt a little bit when, like, the big viral marketing campaign that is sponsoring your wedding, like, doesn't even put it in the real metaverse. But I don't give a shit. But
if they pay for the wedding, though, I mean, at that point, it's just like,
yeah, absolutely. Like, that's great. However,
but like, paid
also,
for the wedding in the metaverse. So, like, not yeah, really.
Sure.
So,
good point.
Or did they, like, I guess this is my, like, it's sort of breaking my brain. Did they pay for a ceremony IRL or only within the metaverse? Also, does a Taco Bell within the metaverse have employees? What, like, I just have a lot of questions.
So many. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have employees. One thing that we do know for sure is that. And this is my favorite point because it's like you suspect, okay, the corporate brand is going to have some notes and ideas that they're going to want implemented. The one place we got to see this is that in addition to having Cal Penn host their wedding, they also had a Twitch streamer like who was narrating the whole thing to the point that the guests of the wedding couldn't hear what was happening.
A play-by-play?
Yes, like a play-by-play, but not even, like, he was just a Twitch streamer. They were like, here, do your thing. Like, had no relation to the couple. So he's just, like, over the top, keeps singing. No one could hear what was going on because the Twitch streamer Taco Bell hired kept singing about Taco Bell throughout the ceremony. Legion, except the O in Legion is a Q for... probably QAnon reasons, but I have no idea.
Ew.
Spoke through every minute of the ceremony. He shouted out his followers and made up little songs proclaiming his love for Taco Bell as he showed off his avatar's various outfits during the wedding.
Wow.
He sounds like a rowdy wedding guest that you have to throw out of your wedding because they've had one too many.
Mm-hmm.
But like during the ceremony,
like, it's like, how can I make
at the ceremony?
How can I make this wedding about me? He right. said, you know,
which that happens. That definitely
I've heard war stories. I, you know what? I don't want to. I've never met these folks, wish them the best again.
Yeah,
as we said at the top.
Nothing against them. It's just we live in hell, all of us. And this is amazing.
And hell is a combination Taco Bell metaverse.
Wedding chapel. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. What other things are going to happen in the metaverse? What other, is Taco Bell going to have a funeral contest next? Like, are they going to have a quinceañera? Like what's going on? Who would think this is a good idea?
I want to meet the couple that steps up and has their divorce in the metaverse. Taco Bell. Like if you're really going to be about that life.
Yeah. Like they didn't look at the bylaws in the entirety of their wedding, including like the consummation. Everything has to happen in the metaverse. Like,
oh my God.
What if they Taco can't... Bell present with Legion present being narrating all the whole thing.
Wait, last question. What if there is something, I think you're onto something with the fine print. What if there is something where they cannot get divorced unless Taco Bell signs off?
Right. Taco Bell's like, we don't love this for our...
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the contract. I'd be surprised if they upheld it. If like, I'm sure they put it in the contract being like, because now this is going to be America's sweethearts. Everyone's going to be paying attention to the first couple to get married in a metaverse Taco Bell. And then now that it has happened and everyone's just like, oh my God, we live in hell. They're probably like, never mind. You guys do your thing. But yeah. I'm sure the contract gives them rights to the first two offspring from the children, you know, or from the marriage. All right. So let's take a quick break and then we'll talk about more insane news.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, big news. We're back. Big news, Tiger King, Joe Exotic guy, is running for president from jail. to remind you if you didn't watch the whole thing or manage to like strategically forget that you watched it, that part of the pandemic, currently serving a 21-year federal sentence for taking out a hit on his rival and also for unlawfully killing at least 5 tigers because he's a bad person.
Yeah.
I don't know. This story is just... We talked about fractals yesterday with our guest Baratunde Thurston and like the idea of like small patterns that like explode and like turn your whole society into the thing that is happening at the smaller level. And like this way in which I don't know which came first, but like toxic narcissism, like debilitating narcissism, like people who just have their mind and life taken over by a narcissistic personality disorder being the cheat code to get famous. This just seems to be like another example of that replicating itself. And I don't know if it's just the overall conditions of social media and the attention economy and all of that just leading to that, but it does seem like this overall sickness we have as a civilization, it's like results in a world where Joe Exotic is still a celebrity. Like,
hey, George Santos is running too. You know what I mean? The look at me casino of social media is in full effect. I imagine, Jack, that you are very divided on which of these two candidates most deserves your vote.
Wait, George Santos is running for president?
Well, I mean, unless he's lying about it.
Yeah.
God, I mean, this is such a non sequitur, but the weirdest lie that he told is that he was one of the producers on the Broadway adaptation of Spider-Man, Turn Out the Dark.
Yeah. Did you remember? Like, a complete disaster.
Like, and also, it's like, that production was like a disaster. People got hurt. I think somebody got like, one of the actors got very hurt. Why would you want to be like, oh yeah, I was part of that production. I produced it actually. Like what a weird thing to lie about.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's his genius.
Yeah.
He picks very specific things that nobody else would lie about. Like he didn't say he said he was on Baruch College's volleyball team, which they don't even have a volleyball team. And like New York is not known for its volleyball. So he like gets in these like little like, you know, corners where nobody would even think to look and lies about that.
I apologize. Accuracy is important. He's running for re-election. I don't know if he's quite president
yet. Did he just get elected?
He knows how to stay in the news.
Campaign grind. Yeah.
But I mean, he's no Tiger King. I saw Tiger King like most of us during the pandemic, right? And and I don't understand a lot of quote unquote reality television, but I fucking love tigers. You know, I love animals like that. So I'm like, oh, let's see what's happening. I was thoroughly unprepared. It was like a later season of Walking Dead where zombies occasionally show up and it's mostly just regular people who are bad at communicating. And I'm like, why don't you change the title of this to like a guy? There are also, hey, Ben, there are also some tigers in here occasionally, right? Like, tiger content. Severely lacking, and he's still locked up for how long, this guy, Joe?
Like 20-something years, 21 years. So like well past the end of his first term, I will say. Yeah, he's planning to ask Liz Cheney to be his running mate. He's also like running on the, like he's saying that like one of his big platforms is corruption in the Department of Justice, which is real. Like, and Trump is hitting on that too. The Department of Justice is a complete shit show and like one of the most toxic, like just all the FBI, like all these things that Trump gets to be the person who like points out. It's very frustrating, but he at least knows how to imitate the parts of, I think he kind of got forced into focusing on Department of Justice because he is in jail and convicted of attempted murder. But
can you do that? Can you become POTUS
president?
When you're locked up?
Yeah, I believe it's constitutionally permitted.
I'm going to write that down in my notes. Good to know. Good to know.
Wasn't he angling to get a pardon from Trump? Like he was like,
yeah, he was
like waiting on the call before Trump left office.
I think that was like a big part of season two, or for some reason I have like some memory of him like waiting on a pardon from Trump. I don't think I watched season two. If I did, I'm very disappointed in myself. But yeah, I remember there being like a big thing where he was like putting all his chips on Trump was going to pardon him, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, the Tiger King part of the pandemic was really weird. When we were all just like glued to it.
Yeah.
Our collective fever dream, you know, when everybody was incredibly afraid with good reason, but then also, yeah, you're right. You're right. I remember these conversations I would have with strangers. You know, we're all like masked up. So right. Everything has like this tension because you're looking in each other's eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And then you would have these conversations, and Tiger King got mentioned.
Yeah.
In these just very short rant. Well, I mean, I'm from Atlanta. We all talk to each other constantly, you know, in any line or elevator. But yeah, Tiger King, and you had pointed out off air, Jack, he's running as a libertarian.
Yeah. Libertarian with a campaign of shutting down the IRS, assassinating Putin, and making undocumented migrants pay $50 a month to avoid deportation, which is an idea he says he got from Belize. But
real winner, this guy. Real winner.
Assassinating Putin is funny. They were like, so, but you're saying you're going to kill. He's like, yep, you quote that wherever you want.
Does he think the CIA is going to read that and go, oh, shit, light bulb moment.
There's an idea.
Wow.
We could kill him.
All right. Let's talk about Sesame Street NFTs. Because the NFT market is exploding right now, and this is another edition of Stock Corner, Jack's Stock Corner.
Boom, boom.
There it is. Boom, boom, boom. So the NFT market is, I'm shocked that there are still NFTs, but... you know, I guess these things take a while to develop. And there is a new $60 Cookie Monster NFT, the first of a series of official Sesame Street themed NFTs brought to you by the letters W, T, and F. These are just shitty JPEGs. Like they are just, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about this.
Did they announce this?
Yeah, they just announced this.
See, I feel like if they had announced this last year, I might be
like, it makes perfect sense. We wouldn't have had to talk about it at all.
I will say that, but I would be at least like, okay, it's kind of in the zeitgeist, sure.
Yeah, but so people are disappointed in this, and they're like, but Sesame Street is the educational show for everyone. Mm-hmm. Why would you be charging money for a JPEG? Like, so why would you be making a product that is the equivalent of like $70 bottled water? You know, it's just like dumb. Nobody needs it. And what are you doing? So our writer Jam did kind of a deep dive into the history of funding Sesame Street, because when it was created, it was this idea that like we will publicly fund PBS, Sesame Street will air on PBS and be like get half of its budget from public funding. And then Nixon came into the White House and he was like, I love Sesame Street, but I can't stomach the government funding a single dollar of this. And, you know, just attacked public PBS essentially. And they've just been having to like struggle and grind to just get enough money to keep the show afloat all of these years. You know, they've had to like lobby, they've had to like do DoorDash commercials. There was a Sesame Street DoorDash commercial in the Super Bowl a couple years ago that people were like, guys, DoorDash is not a good company for you to be hanging out with.
Not
it's like watching your kids hang out with like bad, I don't know, like smoke cigarettes or something. It's like, why is Big Bird hanging out with DoorDash executives? But it's just been violating its ethical ideals since the start, because the Republican Party like starting with Nixon, just has had its crosshairs on Sesame Street, because not just because, like, it's not, you know, the when it started, the show's budget was $8 million. So it's not like this massive government expenditure. But I think what it represents to the Republican Party is like something great that was openly created from public funding, and like a great work of art that was like openly, you know, it's just like too much of a success. And so ever since Nixon, like Newt Gingrich also like got in on it, and like in the 90s was like, we shouldn't be giving them any money because they sold Tickle Me Elmos, so they can fund their budget as much as they want, which just, yeah, is completely misguided. And but I think they're afraid of what Sesame Street represents, and in this country, like, just any beacon of socialism is, you know, the country is allergic to.
Coming for libraries. Always yeah. have been. Yeah.
Libraries start... and Sesame Street, the yeah. number one evils that threaten sure. America. Yeah.
Sure. Somebody call the Tiger King. Let him know the yeah. real enemy. Right. But I like, okay, so this is the thing. Sesame Street is a wholesome kind of connecting point for a lot of people. It's difficult to look at something like that and vilify it. And I will say, this is an opportunity for me to reference a weird Nixon fact. Bridget, Jack, Psych Gang, I recently learned that Richard Nixon genuinely said, I have often thought that if there had been a good rap group around in those days, I might have chosen a career in music instead of politics.
What?
Yes.
He was a rap fan?
He said that, you know, he heavily implies that he would have gone into music instead of politics. I don't know what he was listening to, but this was found in a 1997 tour through the Nixon Presidential Library. So
was it like something he said at the end when like just random neurons were firing off in his dying brain? Because it feels like he just lasted longer. Like, that we just kind of decided that he wasn't going to be an ex-president that people paid attention to. But like, there's a photograph that always blows my mind of Nixon and RoboCop, like at the same event. Yeah, because they were at like some Boys and Girls Club event together, like just somebody dressed as RoboCop, not the real RoboCop, everyone.
Not from the documentary.
But like, it seems like, well, that can't be, because those, like, RoboCop is from a different time period than Nixon, but he was still around and out there and just being like, I didn't do anything wrong. I got screwed. Like,
it was definitely, it had big former president energy to say, you know, I could have also been awesome at music, but, you know, just didn't, you know, it's not my fault. It's the world's fault. So I am not a fan of Nixon, to be absolutely transparent about it. It does not surprise me that he and his ilk object to free education in an equitable, wholesome way. But also, NFTs are stupid. Can I say that on the show?
Okay. No, absolutely not, because Zeitcoin is still coming. We're still developing it. It will be released. We're targeting a spring 2026 launch for Zeitcoin. It just takes a lot. We just have a lot of notes on the design of the JPEG, the pixel placements. Of course. That's,
I mean, Bridget,
stupid.
You know more about this than I do. So, like, what's our NFTs? Are they a grift? Is this something?
Total scam. Total scam. Real? Yeah. Okay. Complete scam. It's funny. I was at South by Southwest this time last year, and everything was NFT this, crypto that. Like, that was the thing. And I'm not at South by right now, but I have lots of friends who are. And I'm hearing that there's just like, NFTs who? We don't know her. Like, how quickly everybody was like, maybe not. And how, like, it was, people had, like, gone all in on it just a year ago. And today it's, like, not a thing anymore. Total scam. It breaks my heart that Sesame Street has to resort to it and get there kind of late. Like, again, like, if this had been announced last year, I might have been like, all right. But, yeah, Ben, to your point about the way that public television particularly for children, has been like scrutinized and attacked. You know, you were like, oh, it's very wholesome. You know, they really, what could they find to be upset about? The way that folks on the right are trying to politicize Sesame Street to target it, to be like, this is why we need to defund it. I remember when Big Bird got, quote unquote, got the COVID shot, and they were like, oh, like, this is so political. And I have to say, I respected Sesame Street's stance of being like, nope, we're just, you know, amplifying what the American Association of Pediatrics has said is good for kids. And so that's what we're going to do. The way that Republicans continue to try to target and scrutinize and weaponize Sesame Street, precisely because it is a source of kind of wholesome, often like identity-based education for children, I think is really disgusting. And it's sad then that they have to resort to what is just a scam. Like, NFTs are not a good investment. It is not a good use of anyone's money. It just makes me, it breaks my heart. And I think it really is a testament to the fact that we do live in this like new tech hell, I guess, like a tech hellscape where even Sesame Street has to go the NFT route, you know?
Yeah. But Cookie Monster does look like he wants to fuck me, right? Like, that's what's happening in that pit. Like, that's
yeah.
Clearly, they're like, maybe you're interested in NFTs now?
By unbuttoning this butt tap button? Is it like an NFT of Cookie Monster's Hinge profile?
There it is.
Exactly.
Either way, Jack, you're not going to get all the way through. Like, you're not even going to get through the first 30 minutes of whatever you guys watch on Netflix, because Cookie Monster's got a vibe there.
Netflix, and it's not going to be very chill. That's a cool, timely reference, right?
Yeah, Bridget. Yeah, very finger on the pulse. Yeah.
Bridget, such a pleasure having you, as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh, well, it's always a pleasure to join the Zeitgang. People can find me on Instagram at Bridget Marie in DC, on Twitter at Bridget Marie, on TikTok at Bridget Todd Makes Pods. I think that's what it is.
Hey.
I just started it, so forgive me for how bad it is. You can listen to my podcast, There Are No Girls on the Internet, or you can listen to my brand new podcast with Next Chapter Podcast called Beef, where we are getting into the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, Sylvester Stallone and Jean-Claude Van Damme had a very interesting rivalry. If you're interested in historical rivalries, check us out.
Hold on, Jean-Claude Van Damme and who?
Steven Seagal. Wait, is it Steven Seagal?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Steven Seagal. Yes.
Makes sense, yeah.
They hated each other.
Oh, that's right.
And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
There is a work of, I guess I'll call it a work of media. It's a little niche, but I had never seen this video of Azalea Banks doing an impression of T.I. It's so mean, but it's also the funniest thing I've ever seen. Please look it up. Like, I was dying laughing at Azalea Banks doing an impression of T.I.
Ben, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, you can find me at Ben Bullen, B-O-W-L-I-N on Instagram. You can find me at Ben Bullen HSW on Twitter. Work of media unrelated that I've been really enjoying. I got super into just very lo-fi POV walking chill music tours on YouTube. So my YouTube history is probably quite boring right now because it's just the perfect eye bleach of someone walking with very chill music late at night through very nice cities.
Sounds delightful.
I'll send it to you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying. Sana at Fruit Lover tweeted, I'm watching Nathan For You with my mom, and she keeps asking me, what's wrong with this guy? It just feels like the exact right parent response to Nathan. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Hey, super producer Justin, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, the only way I can describe this song is that it sounds like if someone smoked angel dust and then freestyled over the Rugrats or Sesame Street, I guess, theme song in a trap house basement. Okay.
Okay. You get in situations. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very specific, but I'm just calling it how I see it, folks. I think you'll agree with me. So this song is called Jigga Dame by Maxo Cream, and you can find that song in the footnotes.
Footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you list your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. Celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.